This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670. The
What is your letter grade for the Cubs' moves at the trade deadline?
I need to see more.
My grade for the Cubs on the trade deadline is C-.
I think the biggest takeaway for me from what Jed Hoyer did is one of inaction. Not going to get a bona fide starting pitcher. I mean, you didn't even go get Adrian Hauser. Did you get closer to the top? And I don't think they got closer to the top,
because there was a window here to go out and get definitive top flight relief help.
Would you say they went from a window to hitting a wall?
I don't know if they went from the window
to the wall.
I don't know what's falling from Justin Turner's prosthetic. I don't know any of that.
And a swing and a drive. Left center fielding deep. This ball's got a chance. Cubs win the ball game. Justin Turner with a game-winning home run.
Unbelievable finish for the Cubs. And Justin Turner.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's a Grody Day.
It's Grody time, yeah!
More Mark Grody.
Mark Grody. Mark Grody.
Ah, Grody.
We'll go next to Mark Grody. Are you from The Score?
He is from The Score. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody today on 670 The Score, and we are happy to broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You can text us, call us, 312-644-6767. When we have breaking news, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Our producers are Ray Diaz and Robbie Triano. Brandon Fryer helps us out as well. And you can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Our Twitch mob is there hanging out. We're happy to see you. Connor O'Donnell and Jacob Stutz are our producers. And I ask this question because we know what is ahead of us Sunday, the first Bears preseason game. Is it game week?
Oh, yeah. It's game week. You know how I know it's game week? Because there is a joint practice leading up to said game. So tension is rising. Expectations are being delivered, hopefully, come Sunday.
You're damn right. It's game week, Layla. That was the most exciting thing I heard in the pre-show meeting today when we were backstage. We're going through our ideas, topics, and Layla says, is it not game week? Yes, it is game week. A practice of consequence. Like these practices, the joint practices, this is what Ben Johnson has been talking about every chance he gets in terms of evaluation, the real stuff where you can go up, hit somebody else. So it's coming, and then they will play an actual game against those Miami Dolphins as well at Soldier Field this weekend.
Game week. Game week. Game week. Game week.
Bearsness, bearsness, bearsness. It is here.
Bears. The other question I asked was, do we feel guilty that we have a three-person show today and David Haw just finished a four-hour show by himself?
I tried to offer myself, but I was shot
down.
Sorry,
David. Yeah. We love you.
Nah, David works out for this. He was ready for this.
He's good.
Yeah.
He can do it.
He was born for this.
He has a partner tomorrow. Ruthie Popo going to be in the house tomorrow.
You're really going to make that stick, aren't you?
Yeah.
Ruthie Polinsky. Have you told her about the
game? I do. She kind of just looks at it. Hasn't really grabbed her attention yet. I think I said to her, "Is it cool if I call you Ruthie?" She goes, "Ruthie Popo?" I was like, "Yeah, yeah. Is that cool?" So she hasn't quite accepted it yet.
Did
but
she
I think
say yes when you asked the question?
No, she was just kind of like, "I don't know. I don't really." It didn't resonate with her initially.
But you're gonna force it, aren't
but
you?
But I am gonna force it. I just did.
All right. I feel like this is all part of game week discussion.
It
you got to get your media people in order.
Yes.
Like, what are the nicknames? You got to get your flow going.
I saw
your
Ruthie Popo. I saw her yesterday at Soldier Field.
At Soldier's Field?
I was at Soldier's Field yesterday.
You were at Soldier Field for FanFest. Marshall was at practice on Saturday, and it's rare that we get two sets of eyes and ears who are at practice over the weekend. So I feel like that is where we have to start as we get ready for Game week.
We
have to be able to start with what we did see. FanFest is another one of those benchmarks, as we've talked about. I did not care that the attendance was not filling Soldier Field. People have things to do. Oh. We gave you this big dissertation about how many things were going on this weekend. FanFest was one of them. So, Gertz, I want to start with what was most recent. What were your biggest takeaways from what you saw out of FanFest?
Well, first of all, I will say that you mentioned that 23,000 people went. There might have been many people who started to go to it and turned their asses around and went back home. I live in the South Loop. Guess where Soldier Field is? It took me 30 minutes, Marshall, from our neighborhood to drive from my place to Soldier Field.
You literally could have just walked in that time.
I had a conundrum. I had to go to the suburbs to be at a birthday party. So I had to zip out of there. Trust me, I would have walked.
Were you able to zip?
I was able to zip out. The zipping out was not that bad. It was the getting there that was really an issue, which was just awful because of all the stuff that's going on in the city. But it was a beautiful day at Soldier Field. Like you said, 23,000 people out there, the music going, some of the, you know, the fun stuff happening at Soldier Field, but in a lot of lower bowl, obviously. I will say this, that it was, as Ben Johnson even said, very sloppy early on, with the headline being for Caleb Williams in the offense, 3 delay of game penalties on the day. That is a regression from having looked good or better. I still don't know if he looks good, but he is looking better for sure. And I'll just throw 2 more bullet points on that. There was on the stuff that was not good, and I've got good too with Caleb Williams, but there was an overthrow to DJ Moore. He did have 1 batted down at the line, and then just too many incompletions in general is what we're still seeing from Caleb Williams right at this moment.
I love that he's getting the ball out, complete or not, because that's not something that I necessarily saw when I saw him practicing on Saturday. I guess where I am on this is looking forward to, I don't know how much he's going to play on Sunday, but I do know he's going to be obviously very active in that joint practice with the Dolphins. Are we going to see enough improvement to hang our hats on something when it comes to Caleb Williams? That's where I am right now, is everything else matters. But everything else matters less than Caleb Williams' individual development.
Well, that's it. I mean, all of our eyes are on Caleb Williams. And I joked when I was walking to work today, I was laughing because I thought to myself, like, there's an element of training camp that is just a backup quarterback beauty pageant. You know, like, we fall in love with what your backups can bring you. And frankly, that's a lot of what it is. It should be, outside of the fact that this is a quarterback who... Some are even saying they're calling this like another rookie season for him, and I get that part of it. It's why I was so frustrated last year, because I kept asking the question, what is this year worth to you? If you want to spend more of the season instilling bad habits than good ones, knowing you have to make a change, and that is revisiting that part of it. But I say all of that to say Caleb Williams' development is number one. Number two is trying to figure out the depth on your team, the realistic piece of knowing that in the NFL, your starters are not going to play all 17 games in the regular season. So figuring that piece of it out, but knowing this is take a step back to take steps forward time. And that's going to be the hard part, I think, for all of us, is to understand that part of it. And I don't think that goes into August and just August. I don't think it's contained in September. I think we have to understand that this is going to be part of this experience. Now, is it an excuse? No. You have other people on this team who are expected to take big steps forward this year, but we might have to see some real unlearning of some bad habits right now.
Talking about what we saw, Mark Grody and I here on Raheemi and Harris, because I was at practice Saturday. Mark Grody was at the Fan Fest on Sunday. And it's interesting because you talk about Caleb Williams looking better, but that just kind of shows you where he was to start training camp, right? And we knew it was going to be back to the basics in a sense, whether it was him operating under center, whether it was him and Ben Johnson both coming out talking about individual goals, 70%. I can tell you he hasn't completed 70% of his passes in practice, but that's okay because right now they're still an install. They're still working to put in everything that's going to happen. Then after all that's done, they're going to work their way back and say, okay, what actually works for this offense? I think Ben Johnson's still evaluating that. But Mark, going back to what you said to start this, you can't have three pre-snap penalties of that variety when you talk about just delay of game. You got to be able to get into your offense, get to the line of scrimmage, and get the playoff.
And guess what? I mean, I know, Layla, you mentioned the two steps back to go forward. And there is that going on, but Ben Johnson was not allowing for that yesterday in the sloppiness that he saw out of QB1 and the rest of the offense.
We got some good work in. It was sloppy, sloppier than I'm probably hoping we'd be at this point. Particularly, we had a couple really good practices over the last two, and then took us a little while to get going and hear the pads clicking. But I thought towards the end we picked it up and it got pretty competitive there.
Continued delay game, penalties, and things of that nature where it just looks like it's not safe.
Yeah, but it's something we're going to have to address for sure. It showed up more today than it has in practice. So this was more like a real game, and if it continues like that, we're not going to win many games.
How do you evaluate if it's, you know, still like install learning things, or if it's things that should be understood and shouldn't be issues like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we. It comes down to, I think I've mentioned a couple times that whether we're making the same mistake twice or not, and I felt like I saw that a couple times today. So I know the saturation level has gotten there with these guys. They're pretty filled up to the brim with information. But at the same time, the installs are slowing down, so we do expect the execution to be a little bit cleaner as we go from here on out.
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today with Mark Grody, Marshall Harris, and Layla Raheemi talking about bears.
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 Did you hear how haunting, to me, having heard it for the second, I was there live in the room with Ben Johnson, but hearing him say, and it struck me the first time too, but it felt even more haunting when Ben Johnson said in that soundbite, if it continues like that, we're not going to win many games. When was the last time you heard a Bears coach, like in the, like the last two, like talk about getting really real? We're not going to win. Like I heard that slow motion. We're not going to win many games.
You're wondering how I got here.
Yeah.
I took that really as a message to his players, not to the media and the fans. That's, hey, if we keep playing like this, we're not going to win many games.
But here's the difference.
I think that's right at the players.
Yeah.
Man.
But
right
he said the same thing to us that he says to the players. That's the difference.
Huge.
And the fact that you absorbed it like that, that means you know it's not up to your head coach's standard. Like, that's what I appreciate about all of this is I need to know what that man thinks is a good football team. And I haven't had that luxury for a long time. In fact, let's rewind to, don't you remember when Matt Nagy said it takes 4 years to get my offense?
Oh, yeah. Nobody did that.
It did not.
I think I heard that in slow motion, too.
4 years to get the offense.
No. So the years is like the ever in the Sandlot. Four years.
Think about that. Matt Nagy comes into town. He's all excited. I got this and that. We're going to run the Andy Reid offense. How long is it going to take you to get this to work?
4 years. No.
And here's the best part. It did not. It still didn't happen.
It still didn't happen. It's more of a five-year offense, actually.
And I appreciate people saying, like, 8-1-5. He sounds audibly frustrated. Yes.
Yes.
But here's the good part. I need to know that your coach is frustrated. I need to know that your coach's standard is higher than his predecessor. I need to know what he wants as a benchmark. Not necessarily what he thinks is going to happen. But when he sets a goal for his team, that doesn't mean they reach it. But you should ask that of your team. This is what we talk about when we say raising the standard. When I talk about good to great, I'm like, I don't know if exposition is good enough as opposed to why. Stop gaslighting yourselves. This guy's telling you the truth.
No, I want to see how this plays out this week specifically. That's why when you're like, is it game week? It is, because we get to find some real truth in the development and the progress of Ben Johnson and his offense specifically, and also Caleb Williams expressly, because that's really what we're all here for at this point. We know Ben Johnson can design an offense that does stuff. We also know Ben Johnson needs a certain type of quarterback playing a certain type of way to make said offense work. And against the Dolphins, we're going to see something. I don't know if it's going to be what you want, but we're going to see something.
I think when you say certain type of quarterback to make certain things work, part of the reason he wanted to be here is he knew that that personnel he could work with. But also, not that he's magic, but a good coach is going to reflect his talent. And if he knows that they can't do something conceptually, then the best coaches are the ones who say, let's not do that then. Like, the last thing you want is like what we were talking about with Nagy, for example, where the offense is being force-fed stuff that they can't either block or execute. That's when you have a real problem.
Nick Foles told me that. You might want to be able to block what you draw up.
Well, technically, I think it was Brian Greasy, right? And then poor Brian Greasy was a bit of the unfortunate messenger there. But the problem, though, also was how it was interpreted. Like, don't be mad at the truth tellers when they're telling you what's going on.
Well, the other truth Ben Johnson is telling, hey, we're messing up the same play multiple times. That's another thing that, like, every coach says that during practice. Like, just, hey, if you screw up, you screw up. Just don't do it again. And we heard that from the Flus. We heard that from Matt Nagy. But I don't ever remember them admitting. And we'd see it. We'd see it watching the That's the same mistake by Mitch Trubisky.
And
but we would never hear Matt Nagy say, well, he's doing it. He's making the same mistake twice.
No, it was all about read progression. Ugh, and
200 level courses.
Yes. And meanwhile, we find out in that article from Rich Campbell and Dan Weiderer that he, and I think it was that one with Kevin Fishbane, the Athletic article. Point being, there was a lot of pros out at that time about what was going on with the Bears. And we find out, you know, later that Trubisky's bringing his playbook and Nagy doesn't show up for a meeting after the season.
Right, right. And I still think that at some point in time, there was actually a hard copy of the playbook, and Matt Nagy took a chainsaw to it and cut it in half and said, here, you just do half of this because you can't handle.
No, you know what happened? Bill Lazor called plays, and that's how they made the playoffs. That's how he became the MVP.
Which was amazing.
The Nickelodeon Most Valuable Player.
It's going to be a great trivia question.
847 is spot on the text line here. Last year, we marveled at how Cliff Kingsbury simplified the offense for Jaden Daniels. And what happened? They got close to a Super Bowl. They were within one game. So when you consider that part of it, I think that's what a good coach does. Does he get to break out all the fun tricks? Unfortunately, no. And I hate that for him because I would love to do the same thing. But that might be the case right now.
Fun tricks come later. Fundamentals right now.
All right. You know we've got to continue coming up here on The Score. Say it with me now.
Game week.
Guess what comes with game week, Layla? Also, there were good things from Caleb Williams yesterday, too.
Yes,
I want to run through those.
I can't wait to hear this.
I know Marshall's got stuff, Layla. I know you got some stuff here,
but yes.
We got so much stuff here. Game week has arrived.
And by the way, this isn't the only game in town. Keep listening for your chance to win tickets to see Spiegel & Holmes at Budweiser Brickhouse in Wrigleyville on Tuesday, August 9th. That is at a special time of 10 to 2. That's right, a show swap. Special guest Nico Horner will join the guys on site that day during the noon hour. The show will be live that day from 2 to 6. Cubs on Deck is powered by Verizon, the most reliable 5G in Chicago. Visit your local Verizon store today. Game week.
Game week.
Game week.
Game week.
Game week.
More next. You're listening to Raheemy and Harris and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in the Odyssey and iHeartRadio app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Apps.
You're listening to Raheemy and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think Ozzy, you know, the maturity, he feels like a veteran. He's able to correct his mistakes. He's very coachable. I know that Dan and Kyle, you know, really like him, but we like a lot of those guys at that spot, and they're going to continue to battle. There's a lot of football left to be played at that position and in that battle, but that was kind of just what the plan was for today. Keep rotating them through, and we're still evaluating that spot.
Hey, get used to that voice. That's Declan Doyle, the offensive coordinator. Whether or not Robbie Triano wants to admit it, this is Rahimi and Harris.
It's Ben Johnson's intern, yeah. He's just getting the coffee, you know.
We're not doing this.
I appreciated his press conference, okay? I actually liked a lot of what he had to say, and not necessarily because I needed to feel better, but just because I felt like he did have a grasp of the role.
Means well.
You know, Sean McVay got hired at basically 12, right, to run the Rams. He was 33, I think, when he got hired.
He does have two Super Bowl appearances, including a Super Bowl win, correct? Sean McVay?
Yes. So the point is, you know, sometimes talent is younger than we want to admit it. Robbie.
I would think Robbie would cheer for the young guy because Robbie's young, right?
That was my point.
We may be witnessing Robbie's first old man moment.
Oh my God.
He's about to see if he is.
I'm older than Declan Doyle.
Game week.
You're old, Robbie.
Robbie's that older sucks. Than somebody with an important job.
Robbie, if you need
this
a cloud,
this is how it begins.
There's several clouds outside you could yell at right now if you need one.
I'm next thing you know, your favorite players are retiring.
I will say,
the Bulls are doing the right thing, and Bulls.
You told me to yell at the
that.
Cloud. I yelled at the cloud.
You did.
I don't like talking to offensive coordinators who are not play callers. I will say that. Like like from the 2018 when Nagy, well, that was the first year I came in, they rolled out Mark Helfrich. Nobody knew what Mark Helfrich did. I feel like we do have a better idea with Declan Doyle just because like they've kind of stated some of the things that he's going to be doing in terms of help, but he truly is an assistant to Ben Johnson.
He's an assistant to the regional manager?
Basically, yeah. That's a pretty good way to put it.
If he were as successful as Dwight Schrute, I would be good with it. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody. Talking about, yes, Bears game week, and then also what you two observed both at FanFest yesterday at Soldier Field and what Marshall got to see at Hallis Hall on Saturday. And I know we talked about the struggles when it came to three delay of game penalties, which that's not ideal by any means, but just the clunkiness that has been the installation of what we can expect to see with this offense.
There was definitely a lot of clunkiness, a lot of sloppiness yesterday. I kind of outlined some of that. The good things that I saw yesterday, not necessarily in any particular order. I did look, and I know that this is not what I want to see Caleb Williams doing a lot, and we know that from Justin Fields that it's not sustainable. However, Caleb Williams looked good scrambling yesterday. He was elusive still. The speed is good, all of that stuff. So that's almost like just basic 101 stuff, but I just thought that was important to point out. I saw a nice quick slant 7 yards to Colson Loveland in the 2-minute drill. There was a nice little bootleg right to the sideline, hitting DJ Moore in stride at one point in time, which would have been a big gain. I love that play to DJ Moore. There was also a play action screen to Cole Kmet, wide open and scored. One of the best plays that the Bears have run so far in training camp. And he also had a nice little toss to DeAndre Swift at one point in time, just kind of lofting it over his head, putting it right on time. DeAndre Swift catches it, runs another 10 yards or so. So there were some good things to say. It almost felt like a lot of Caleb Williams' games last year, like maybe even the Washington game, where you would see him struggle early, and even in the third quarter, fourth quarter would come, and you would do some really good stuff. That's sort of the way things felt at Soldier Field yesterday.
I'm so glad that you brought that specific point up, because I've been to two practices now, each of the last two Saturdays. And the one thing that I can say thematically that has been consistent is he looks way better at the end than he does at the beginning in terms of running, whether it's 7-on-7, whether it's 11-on-11. You get him in a 2-minute drill, though, and you see everything that you saw last year when Caleb Williams was giving the Bears a chance in some of these games, even in the 10-game losing streak. And I think what's interesting about that is the Caleb magic is there. It is present. It exists. The issue is right now, we're trying to get the Caleb fundamentals to be up to Ben Johnson's snuff.
and up to that level where Ben Johnson needs him to be able to just run regular plays in the first and second quarter of games in an effort to keep your offense on the field and move the chains. And I'm not sure I've seen evidence based on what I've seen, but you're kind of corroborating what I've seen in that he's doing a highly efficient job. He's not doing a bad job per se, but just a highly efficient job the way you see it when the other quarterbacks are on the field, namely running with the twos and threes when you're talking about Case Keenum, Tyson Bagen. It just seems like he's not quite as on point early in practice.
As my podcast partner Dan Wiederer says on Take the North, the sizzle is not there right now with Caleb Williams.
There's a couple things for me. Is number one, the thing I liked about the misdirection at Soldier Field that we saw, just motion misdirection. So much of that is just inherent in play design where you can put some lipstick on a pig. That's it. That's the beauty of pre-snap motion if it's done right. That's the beauty of play action, even when you don't necessarily run the ball a lot. Misdirection, if you do it right, which a lot of teams do, will hide a lot. You know, that's the whole point, is you're trying to utilize your talent in a creative way or make up for maybe what you can't block. And I love that play for that reason. It's a solution. But I think what a lot of the issue is here, too, is there are some echoes from training camp last year where the two-minute drill was also an issue in practice at training camp last year. You know, how much does that concern you when it comes to the repeat of what you're seeing, Mark, when you start with that part of it? Because for me, that's big when that's a completely different offense, and it is the same problem.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Now, it was pretty good at the end of practice yesterday what they were doing in two-minute, but yeah, that's an overall view too, Layla, of what I've been a little surprised by in this camp, and taking into mind it's a new coach and all the caveats and all the disclaimers, that there wasn't a sort of progression from last year's training camp to this year's training camp in terms of the things that Caleb Williams was doing well, including or even trying to make better, including the two-minute drill. But I do think that a lot of that is because of the new offense and everything that you sort of had to start over, but I would like to have seen him hit the ground running a little bit faster.
I think one of the things that I've wrestled with is the reports about the elusive ability of him to escape pressure, right, in these practices. Because what I saw Saturday was a guy that, in my estimation, would have been sacked on some plays, right? But if you're like, oh, he kept the play alive, it's like, well, he also isn't allowed to be touched. And I think even if he completes a pass on a play where I deem he would have been sacked, I can't give him credit for that, because right, he would have been sacked. He's not getting the ball out on time consistently enough, for my liking anyway. And that's something that's been consistent in both the practices that I went to. You tell me, when you talked about him being elusive, was he in serious danger, or was it a guy was in 5 yards of him and he was able to stay, you know, 2-3 yards away from someone?
Yeah, I think in this case, that's a good question. I think he was in serious danger, and this particular run actually was kind of up the middle. Like, he faked a couple guys out, and it looked like, now, like you said,
but that,
like, we sit there as reporters on the sideline, and we're like, we kind of check with each other. Would that have been a sack? That looked like it would have been a sack. It looked like Caleb Williams would have been down. It looked like Jervon Dexter may have gotten a paw on his leg, and he may not have made that run.
And that's my concern, Layla, is because I'm looking at it, and I'm reading the tweets from what I just watched, and people are like, oh, that elusive. And then even the post-practice questions about, oh, what did you like about how he eluded? I was like, did he elude? Because I'm pretty sure he was a dead man in the backfield.
Right.
On a couple of those plays. And I think that's why the getting out of time back to the fundamentals is the important part for me right now.
Well, it's also what you're going to see in joint practices. Joint practices are going to tell you a lot of truths. And that's something that Ben Johnson echoed earlier in his availability yesterday. Our training camp coverage here on The Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. This is Raheemi and Harris on 670 The Score. I also want to point out the position group that we feel like is the most improved. Dave Wannstedt talked to David Haugh about it this morning on David Haugh's solo show.
If you said to me what was probably the most impressive thing of the practice, it would have been the offensive line talent, experience, and how they're being coached. I mean, I would put all those things together. They went full speed, live, inside run, as I call it. Big guys against big guys. And I tell you what, the offensive line was moving the defense. There was movement. Now, I'm not talking about blowing them back 5 yards off the ball, but, I mean, there wasn't penetration. There was nut guys from the defense in the backfield. This offensive line, it was the most exciting thing probably that I walked away from practice saying, wow, there's an improved position.
So I was going to say, yeah, David was on with Dave Wannstedt, and I appreciate what Wani had to say about the most improved position group. It absolutely should be when that's where you spent the majority of the money in the offseason. Thank God that's the case.
Well, that ended the draft capital, right? You look at what's happened up front, and I agree with Dave Wannstedt, but looking at the other position groups, I was like, how much room for improvement really was there compared to the room for improvement at the offensive line position? It's a complete makeover up front. And also, I like the idea that they have some real depth. Some guys that you're talking about vying for starting job, even the guy who doesn't get to be the starter at left tackle, whether it's Karen Amagaji, Braxton Jones, or Ozzie Trapillo, that's two more guys now you could do stuff with.
Yeah, if Braxton Jones is your swing tackle, like you're in pretty good shape. I mean, that would be ideal. The ideal situation, obviously, is Ozzie Trapillo being your starting left tackle. But and by the way, he did start there yesterday in the Soldier Field practice. We did see Braxton Jones with the ones as well for a while. So it does feel like this competition is really on between these two.
And it's kind of changed because Karen Amagaji has now missed the last 2 days with injury. So that throws a little bit of a wrinkle in that. You look at your face like, yeah, people already hurt, yes.
Right. So when I hear that, I think about what happened previously. But it's not just that for me. It's the fact that you have to have some of your drafted talent when you're in this year of being in the front office. You have to have some of this drafted talent over the last 3 seasons be cornerstones for your team, because financially you can't keep doing that. But that's not what's important right now. But that is something that I think about. You can't keep signing guys to these expensive deals. That's how you get over the cap, and that's how you back yourselves into corners. Right now it's okay because you have so much of your talent who's on rookie contracts. But when I hear that about Karen Amagaji, it's like, how many years are we just writing off of these draft picks?
Yeah, he's a third-round pick.
How many times are we going to do this?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that absolutely. I mean, there's an expectation.
Is it a problem for right now? No.
That's why they're giving him a shot to, air quotes, to compete for the start. We all know Karen Amagaji is not going to be the starting left tackle for the Chicago Bears. He's not going to win that competition, but they have to. They got to work him out like he is because he's a third-round pick last year from this GM who just got an extension.
And you have to also devote some of that draft capital to other positions. You know, you can't keep always devoting it to the same ones.
Yeah.
And that's an issue for me, too. Then again, I'm talking about a guy who drafted two punters.
The interior of the offensive line, though, I can't express that enough. It's so nice to have a guy, especially the center, with the issues the Bears have had at that position on Ryan Poles' watch. You know, it has not been good with the guys that he has signed and that he's brought in to play that position. And then you've got Joe Tooney and then Jonah Jackson, I know, who's been banged up. God, it's nice that interior is set relative to what we see.
Number one, fix the problem, which is the stage they're in. You know, contracts coming up, that's a later issue.
The Amagaji thing, unfortunately, I don't want to say this, but this is how I feel. It just reminds me of the Velus Jones Jr. thing. Oh. Where you're trying to make your guy
stick.
What
about the Zach Pickens thing?
Oh, yeah. That too?
Yeah, because so Dio Odengbo didn't come here cheap.
I'm still waiting for Dio to do his thing, but joint practice coming up this week.
That's funny you mentioned
Dio,
him.
Go off.
Saw him on the sidelines. Yep.
Yeah, all of these things are valid to me. You know, I care about the entire roster. But number one, fix the problem.
If you don't
fix the problem, you can't get to the other issues
that
you have to take care of. We have more to come with Raheem and Harrison. Mark Grody still in on 670 The Score. And more Bears talk later in our show. But there was a huge series at Wrigley over the weekend. We want to get to the Sox as well. That will be at 11 and 5 on it. 5 on it is at 11 because Justin Turner joins us at noon. So let's talk about the Cubs and Orioles series, because some people who were traded for showed up this weekend. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And a swing and a drive. Left center field and deep. This ball's got a chance. Cubs win the ball game. Justin Turner with a game-winning home run.
Unbelievable finish for the Cubs. And Justin Turner, as soon as he hit it, the bat stayed in the air, and he knew it. Game over. Cubs win.
Now that is a call. You know who that is. It's Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer along with Zach Zaidman on The Score. This is Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody. And the Cubs took a little more than I thought it was going to take, but ended up getting 2 of 3 from the Orioles. The A's, who were clear sellers at the deadline, to say the least.
They weren't sellers over the weekend, though, right? They came ready to play.
They did, and I know that you always have to give credit to the other team, and that Gunnar Henderson home run to straightaway center on Saturday was some strength.
Into the teeth of the
that
wind.
That was strength.
Oh, Thielbar had a little problem.
Yes, and that's going to happen, too. You know, I think I said this last week. For me, the concept a lot of times when it comes to roster building is slump timing. Like, do you think that everybody's going to hit the slump at the same time? And if not, how do you fix it? But I think we saw a good example of that yesterday. Cubs end up winning thanks to the Justin Turner walk-off. Justin will be on with us at noon. You won't want to miss that. And in the meantime, they did get 2 of 3 from a team where you're saying to yourself, ultimately, it's a successful series. Is it ideal series? No. But did you get there? Yes.
You look at how they got there, and you have questions, and you have continued concerns, perhaps. But the bottom line is, at this point in the season, when you're going especially against non-division opponents, survive in advance. Take 2 out of 3 and keep it moving. And they've done that. And despite whatever you want to say about what you saw and what wasn't up to par for the Cubs over the weekend, yes, they are 2 games out of first place. They still have the second-best record in baseball.
Yeah, and they did win 2 out of 3. Sometimes you got to grind, and they did grind this weekend. It was like this was the Cubs on maximum effort. They were trying really hard to win these games. Like, think about Friday. My God, a 1-0 hour and 49-minute game.
That was the most grindy McGrind face game the Cubs have played this year. Grindy
afternoon show is like, oh my God, we got to do a whole damn show now.
Yeah, they
because
did.
Because of an hour and 49-minute game on the Ryan Sandberg, the 23 seconds of silence out there. So that was a grind. Saturday sucked, as you pointed it out.
I was there.
You were there. You were there. So you saw Thielbar give it up, and Brazier didn't look much better. He's not innocent in this either.
It was also still a somewhat solemn game. I know that when we talked to Craig Kinney on Friday, he said that was going to be more of the tone on Friday, and then Saturday was going to be more of a celebration of Ryan Sandberg's life. And it was. But being there, it was still also... There was just a big note of solemnity, and unfortunately, and our friends Robbie Crowell and I got to sit next to their family, and got to meet PCA before the game.
I saw the
thanks
video.
In part to of course the Radiothon, and it was a wonderful moment for Brain Up, and just an excellent part of the continuance of what everybody did over the weekend, raising $750,000 for our Radiothon for cancer research. That was wonderful, but also to see how many people after the game were taking pictures at the statue, and then all of the offerings that were brought up and just left at the statue as well, the beautiful flowers too. It was still pretty solemn. You know, so to end that series, I think, on a walk-off is a really nice note to what was a hard series.
It was a hard series. The one thing I noticed is how the Brewers are playing compared to how the Cubs are playing, both against teams that aren't very good, right? And the Brewers, the way they just handled business to the tune of, 56 hits over 3 games, a franchise record. And the Cubs are just trying to just scratch out runs any way they could.
To eke them out.
And listen, positives to take away from this series, Cade Horton. Hasn't given up a run since the All-Star break. That is a big positive, and I don't know how much more usage they're going to get out of him between now and the end of the regular season and what his availability is going to be going forward, but certainly a great spotlight for him. Matthew Boyd looking more like the father who stepped up yet again.
Amen.
Wow.
After his worst outing this season as a Cub, he comes back and gives you scoreless baseball. The end, obviously, was not ideal. But then just to see a moment like what Justin Turner had as he continues to play for the Cubs in a limited, very limited role, but to make the most out of it with his second walk-off hit of the year.
How about how jacked up Wrigley Field was on Saturday in the ninth inning? I was actually in Wisconsin on a lake at a birthday party watching it in the outdoor bar when PCA comes up to the plate with runners on first and second, and we had the sound jacked up. I love it. One of the great things with crowds is when a chant begins, the PCA chant begins, and it's disorganized at first, where you hear voices in one pack. It's a very menacing sound until you're in unison. Like, the pre-unison PCA chant was daunting, like menacing. And then, of course, he struck out. But it was probably about the most hyper moment of the entire weekend when PCA comes up in that spot with two men on, chance to win the game.
We in the crowd were hungry for production.
Oh, that's right.
And you could tell that it was building in that direction. And then it's exactly what happens. The lineup turns over. You get exactly who you want in that moment. And unfortunately, Kay.
Having watched the previous four bats, in which he had struck out three of them, I'm just curious, are you, like me, on board with what Bruce Levine was talking about, pinch hit Justin Turner in that moment? I was like, let the righty go and do his thing. PCA has looked not good at all in that game.
It's easy to say that now because we saw Justin Turner hit a walk-off. But at the end of the day,
you're talking about PCA. It's pinch hit for PCA, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's easy to say when you see what happened on Sunday, but at the same time, these are the moments where your cleanup hitter, for example, or your all-star is supposed to come through. And frankly, he needs to see more high leverage at-bats that require off-speed pitches. It requires something you didn't see from that reliever previously. Yeah, you're probably biting on a slider or two, and you need to learn the difference. You know, you need to learn how to have better pitch selection in those at-bats.
I'm just saying the object is to win the game. I think Turner provided a better chance given what PCA had looked like throughout that game.
Well, and we know that he had plenty of strikeouts on Saturday and Sunday. Mm. But, you know, I will also say this. Credit to Willie Castro, man. Comes in, he's got three hits on Saturday and Sunday. That is exactly why you traded for that guy. And those are the detail makers. You know, when somebody else is struggling, who's picking you up? And you saw him with some key at-bats.
He's your Ben Zobrist. He can play, you know, basically the entire second, short, and third. He can play the outfield. So he is of value.
Absolutely. So I expect to see that again just because of what we've seen already. Like that, he made people look smart over the last two games especially. So that was really nice to watch. Coming up next here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on the score. We moved up five on it because, as we mentioned, Justin Turner joins us at noon. So let's do it. Five questions. We get to the Sox as well. We'll have some fun next on the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.